It's ASC Plot Points. I'm Ben Walpole. Project Manager. It's a very, very recognizable job title in 2024, especially in the world of civil engineering. It conveys leadership and also technical expertise. But project management in civil engineering also involves people, as in like managing the people who are working on the project. Civil engineering management is a vast responsibility these days and one that requires a lot of knowledge and a lot of different kinds of skills. So today on the podcast, we have one of the best young managers in the business to break it down for us. Lauren Taylor works for WSP USA, based in Austin, Texas, as their Texas Planning and Advisory Services lead. She manages a large team over many projects and initiatives. We met last month at the ENR Emerging Leaders Conference in Chicago, where she was being honored as one of ENR's top 20 under 40 young professionals. So today she talks about how she juggles all the different responsibilities that come with civil engineering management and why she loves it. Here's Lauren Taylor. If we could start by just kind of outlining, you know, where you are right now. What's your typical work week look like? What are you working on these days? What does your job entail?
Yeah, so my job right now is a Texas Planning and Advisory Services lead. So what that means is I've got a team of about 30 planners, and those are both environmental and transportation planners. And then there's also the advisory services section, which don't report to me, but are definitely part of the team. And that consists of some of our more niche services like construction management or connected and autonomous vehicles. It's a big range of folks. So a typical, I'll say week, because I don't know that there's a typical day for me, but a typical week for me looks like, obviously from a people management perspective, trying to make sure that my folks are doing well from their workload perspective, as well as just day-to-day. I do really try to make sure that for most of my staff, I'm able to talk with them at least on some sort of regular cadence, which is sometimes hard with 20 folks that directly report to me, but that's really important to me. And then from a project management standpoint, we've got a lot going on here in Texas. As you can imagine, Texas is growing and doesn't seem to be stopping. So we're doing a lot of work for multiple levels. So from municipal level, we're helping with some corridor studies in Fort Worth, Texas. We're doing a climate action plan for the city of San Antonio. And then for Harris County down in the Houston area, we're working on a municipal park master plan. And then we do a lot of work with the Texas DOT, so that involves a lot of NEPA and environmental clearance work for roadway projects. We do a lot of planning. I am personally involved with a really neat staff augmentation project with the El Paso district, where we're able to help them on multiple levels of planning and programming. So that includes helping them identify projects for their unified transportation plan, as well as coordination with the local metropolitan planning organization, and we're really embedded with that district, which has been a fun experience, being able to see the inner workings of not just the district, but also how some of these major funding opportunities like BIL, like IIJA, are being implemented on a district or more local regional level. So a lot of project management in my week. And then you can't forget that we're a business, so part of what we have to do is also pursuit. So typically I am working on some sort of pursuit to make sure that either we're writing a proposal and those are looking good, or meeting with clients to make sure they know who we are and what our capabilities are.
And that's just how you would describe a typical week. I mean, that's a lot.
Yes.
So it's interesting. I think, you know, one of the first things you just mentioned there was kind of that category of the human management, checking in on your people, making sure the workloads are in the right balance and that everybody's doing okay. How do you yourself in managing all of this, how do you balance that in terms of, you know, taking care of your people, but also managing the projects and kind of making sure that all works? Because you have deadlines, you have things that have to get done, but you also have to acknowledge that you're working with human beings that have, you know, complete lives and feelings and everything else. You know, how do you juggle all that as a manager?
Yeah, it's a lot. And, you know, I have a life too, right? So it's juggling myself as well. It's a lot of juggling, I'd say that. It's a lot of being really strategic with my time and understanding how people also best function with their time. I think as a people manager, at least, it's been really important for me to just really get to know the folks on my team so that I can have a really good understanding of what they do best, what they want to do moving forward, and then also get a sense of how they manage their time too. So I think me having that understanding can help balance what they're doing, how projects are moving forward with people, right? Not just generally moving forward. And then triaging. I mean, I can't say enough how much in a day and in a week that part of the juggling effort is just recognizing what's important in that day, in that moment, and being able to be flexible to react to what might change, or let's say something comes up in my own life, something comes up in a staff's life that requires them not to be available. What do you do then, right? So being able to be flexible and react to that, I think, is really important. But I would just say there's a lot of juggling. My calendar probably always looks really, really full. Part of that is just me blocking off time to remind myself to do things. So that's really important. I think as much as we can maybe automate reminders. I know I've got alerts that go off on emails for projects. And I, for check-ins, like for my folks, I make sure that we've got recurring meetings just so that as much as some of the easier items or I can automate the process of reminding myself of doing things as much as possible. So flexibility and using tools like reminders are really important.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense where you're scheduling yourself and keeping everything on track, but also, like you said, the flexibility to adapt when things don't go quite according to plan, which usually probably happens by noon every day. But
yeah,
I want to ask you a question that's just almost like a hypothetical, and I don't want this to sound like a job interview, obviously, but I'm just curious. So like we've talked to a lot of people on the podcast, especially coming out of COVID, where there's just a little bit more of an emphasis from engineers and folks on work-life balance and trying to maybe advocate for yourself when you need help or need space. So as a manager, I think when somebody comes to you and says, "Hey, I need a break," or I can't take this on," in some ways, it's almost like the easiest response as a manager to say, "Oh, of course, you know, because it almost feels good to take care of that person and help them." But have you ever had a situation where you kind of had to say, "Listen, I we need to keep pushing through on this"? Like, I don't know if that makes sense as a hypothetical, but almost when you have to find that balance as a manager to kind of help people keep pushing through, even if they're struggling. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, no, I definitely understand what you're saying. I think, let's see, how do I say this? So I definitely understand that. I mean, the first thing I guess I just want to say is that I do think that work-life balance part is really important. And I think that, I don't know how to say it, like generationally, I think that the generation coming underneath me is really heavily emphasizing work-life balance. And so I know that's made me re-look at even how I identify work-life balance for myself. So that's something that I try to be really cognizant about, is that there is a slight difference in how people view work-life balance. But you're right, there are times where, yes, you understand that as a manager, folks need to have some sort of balance and might be getting close to burnout, or they might be getting close to their personal limit of, let's say, how many projects they can take on, how much of a stretch assignment they're able to do. And so it seems like the question is, how do you say, okay, yes, I understand you're there, but maybe you need to be pushed a little bit more, or the circumstances kind of require that. I think right now, my team, we're really benefiting from the fact that we've been really successful and there is a lot of work coming in our way, and the backlog is huge. But I think part of that also means that right-sizing our staff needs to happen more quickly, and that's hard to do. It's a competitive industry right now, and that trickle effect has meant that some of our staff have needed to either step up a little bit more and quicker than maybe they're comfortable with, or take on more projects and managing projects that are stretched for them, not necessarily that they're poorly suited for. I don't think I'd put anyone in a position that I thought they were poorly suited for, but more it's a stretch for them. And, you know, I have had people say, hey, Lauren, I'm doing a lot right now. How can I? I just need you to know I'm doing a lot right now. And so in some of those instances where it's like, this is just a period of time where we need people to really stretch, I do try to remind them, okay, this is a short period, a short stint. After we're through with this short stint, please take the time you need. But I think, you know, part of that is also just recognizing if it's something that's detrimental to someone's mental health, for instance, or I'm really seeing them struggle, I think it's worth, as a team, filling in where that person might need to step back a little bit and not push too hard on that person. So I think it's really just gauging where that individual is at when they're asking to kind of step back, and then see, okay, do they need to be pushed a little bit more? Is this a short stint where we can say, okay, after this stint, well, you take all the time you need, or is it you take the time you need right now and we'll come together as a team and make sure that everything keeps moving?
Yeah, yeah. And I guess it kind of goes back to what you were saying too before about just knowing your people and every situation as best you can. And is this kind of level of management something that you envisioned for yourself from the beginning when you started your career? You know, is this kind of the path that you've tried to get to strategically, or was it a pleasant surprise?
I'd love to say, oh yes, this was strategic. I had a 5-10 year plan and I'm just checking boxes off that plan as I go. But no, that wasn't the case at all. I think if you asked me, especially 10 years ago, what I want to do, I'd just tell you that I want to do a good job and probably run things from a technical perspective. I knew that I always wanted to manage projects. That was just something that worked for me. The people part, I wasn't really sure about. I don't know that when I started, I saw myself as a natural leader or someone that was going to be managing a team of any size. But now that I'm here, and I think as I kind of progressed a little bit more in my career, I love it. And I didn't think I was going to like it as much as I do, but it's really fascinating to be able to see all these different personalities and figure out how do they fit into the technical component of the work that we do. I feel like I'm probably more drawn to technical work and figuring out problems figuring out solutions to technical problems. But the people part, I don't know, it's been really cool to see. But no, this is not where I necessarily saw myself. But again, I don't even know that it was that strategic 10 years ago.
Now, obviously, we met at the Emerging Leaders Award ceremony, which is a pretty big deal. And I know you've done a ton of stuff somehow outside of all of these regular work responsibilities. Can you talk a little bit about some of those things, kind of the quote-unquote engineering extracurriculars and what's motivated that?
Yeah, so a couple of the organizations that I'm part of are the Conference of Minority Transportation Officials. I'm also, I guess, recently chair of the Public Safety Committee for CAP Metro, which is the transit agency here in Austin. And then I serve as a board member for Shoal Creek Conservancy. There's one more. Oh, and I'm a member of Central Texas Association of Environmental Professionals. I've always kind of been the person that was like, all right, I have school when I was in both school and college, but I also do extracurriculars. I think for me, that's always been a interesting way to keep my interests going in ways that maybe I'm not exactly doing for work or school at that moment. So for instance, with Shoal Creek Conservancy, I'm not getting out in the field anymore looking at bugs and bunnies, but with Shoal Creek Conservancy, I can help an organization that does that, and they do volunteer events that I can still participate in and make sure that they're moving forward with funding. Or with the Conference of Minority Transportation Officials, or COMPTO, that's really passionate to me because, you know, as a Black or mixed female in this space, there's not a lot of people that look like me, and I want to make sure that there's space for people that look like me, you know, in the future. And so that organization is really great to help create those opportunities for other people. So I just think the extracurriculars kind of fulfill pieces of what I'm maybe doing a little bit at work, but want to really indulge in a little bit more. I probably like to be too busy and don't recognize how busy I am too. So it doesn't, I'm probably not overextended is the wrong word, but I like being involved. I like being involved in my community. I think that's something that's been instilled in me at a very young age. And so it looks like me being a part of community organizations.
How was that instilled in you? Was it something that you drew from your family? Like, where did that come from?
Yeah, no, definitely with my family. So, I mean, my parents are really involved with their communities. I grew up seeing them be a part of different types of organizations, both professionally and within the community. So, we would volunteer as a family. I remember one year my parents acted like we didn't get any toys, but said we were going to get the opportunity to volunteer. And we ended up getting toys still that year. But me and my sister, I have a younger sister, we were fine with the idea of volunteering just because that seemed fun too. Like, there's an opportunity for kids that were less fortunate than us to get toys and have a good opportunity. So, yeah, I think with my family, we always volunteered. We always they always tried to be involved and make sure we were involved with our community, because the idea was that if you hear my dad talk, he'll talk about community a lot and how that's really important and that we're part of a community and need to make sure it's good. So,
well, and to tie it back into kind of the management stuff we were talking about earlier, it I'm sure that has impacted the way that you approach, you know, handling projects and especially handling people, right?
Definitely, yeah. I mean, we're in a business, right? But these are people that we're working with. The projects that we're working in are impacting people and impacting our environment. And so I'm a part of that too. And so I want to make sure that everyone not feels good about it, because you can't get that consensus amongst everything would be great. But just that I'm mindful of my staff. I'm mindful of what I'm creating as part of projects. That definitely ties into this community and giving back. And I think as part of ENR, one of the folks that I was with mentioned a lot about servant leadership. I think that ties in too.
So I guess to wrap it up, you know, what's next for you? Obviously, you've accomplished a lot at a young age, but where do you see this thing going next?
Oh my goodness, yeah, that's quite a question that I think about a lot. I want to continue what I'm doing. I've really enjoyed the role that I'm in right now and being able to grow a team and then also grow projects. The project part has been really fun because that's also been able to help grow a team. So being able to start when I did about 6, almost 7 years ago with WSP, only working, let's say, or only focusing on NEPA projects, because that's what I knew. That's what my boss, Casey Carlton, knew. And he brought me in to help grow the planning team. And then broadening as much as we have from the planning perspective in Texas has been awesome. And so I really want to keep that going, whether that's in Texas, or hopefully I'm not going to say I'm going to reach worldwide, but, you know, hopefully that opportunity to grow projects, grow teams, I'd love to see broaden outside of Texas and maybe the U.S. I'd love to be able to play in Europe or other places too.
All right. Very cool. You're going to listen to this in 10 years and either be, like, wow, I was really on it, or you'll laugh when you hear what you're thinking, but it's great.
Yeah, that's true. I'll have to remember you said that so that I can come back to this.
Yeah.
I'll set a reminder.
ASC Plot Points is a production of the American Society of Civil Engineers. Please subscribe, rate, review the show on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, whatever podcast platform you prefer. Thanks so much to our guest today, Lauren Taylor. Our music is by Coltrane Motion. Learn more at coltranemotion.com. And you can keep up with everything going on at ASCE and throughout the entire civil engineering profession online at the Civil Engineering Source. That's source.asce.org. Thanks so much for listening. We'll talk to you again soon.